Happy Father's Day to all the dads and grandpas out there. It's a wonderful privilege to be given children from the Lord and also an awesome responsibility to have the calling to lead them in God's ways. Today I want to reflect with you on dynamic dads and what's involved in that as the Bible guides us. And we want to look first of all at Psalm 128, which will be our basis, as well as some other scriptures as we proceed. Psalm 128 says, "Blessed is everyone who fears Yahweh, who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears Yahweh. Yahweh bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." This ends the reading of God's Word, and God always blesses His Word to those who listen. We're going to reflect on 10 major aspects of what goes into being the kind of father that God calls us to be. And so I hope that it's an encouragement to those of us who are fathers or may someday be fathers. But I would encourage those who aren't fathers or grandpas, who may be moms or even kids, to not turn off your hearing aid or just tune out, because we're always a body together in the Lord, whether as our individual families and households and also as a family of faith together. And so much of what it is involved in being a dad is teamwork in parenting with a mom. And so much of that, too, when you're a kid growing up, or sometimes when you're a kid who has grown up, it's helpful to think on what God has done for you through your dad. And so some of these things may help reflect on that, even if you don't happen to be a dad. The first thing that we want to think about is that a dynamic dad is someone who reveres God. Then that he loves his wife, that he provides, that he shows up, that he has his priorities straight, that he trains himself and not just trying to guide others, that he is a teacher of wisdom, that he also provides discipline. He awaits growth. He knows that he knows where his children are at, and he knows that they still have progress to be made, and he's not discouraged when they're not born, you know, and already mature, wise, and discerning at 10 days of age. And last but certainly not least, a dynamic dad is someone who really values and prizes his children and is just glad to be their dad and enjoys being with them. So let's first of all focus on the fact that a dad is somebody who reveres God. The most important single thing that you can do for your children is lead them to God. And you can't lead them to God without walking with God yourself, without loving God and trusting Him and fearing and revering Him and being awestruck at who He is. Sometimes a father or mother will think, well, you know, some religion would be good for the kids. And so when they're young, I'll bring them to church. Or when they're young, I'll send them to Sunday school. But, you know, once they're older, then it's going to be back to me not being involved in church life at all or worshiping God. I gave them their exposure to religion, and I hope it was good for them. That's how a good deal of the Western world has fallen away from the faith, is parents thinking that a few years of going through the motions and letting their kids get a little taste of religion, maybe they gave their kids just enough to inoculate them against the real thing. If you want your kids to know God, you need to be one who loves and reveres God yourself. The first thing this particular psalm says, and it's echoed throughout the Bible, "Blessed is everyone who fears Yahweh, who walks in His ways." When you have a sense of awe and amazement at who God is, and you're walking in His ways, then you're leading your kids by your life, and it can be contagious so that they will walk with Him. And I don't want to discourage moms or single moms, but it is simply a fact of sociology, never mind the Bible, that in homes where a father worships God and loves God, there is a much higher probability that the children will than if only the mom does. That doesn't mean that if you're a mom, you should just get all down and discouraged and not walk with the Lord if you don't have a husband and father to help. But it does mean that the role of the father is extremely important. And kids are almost wired to be affected and shaped by their dad. God has even given himself the name of father in relation to us. And when I even think of my own role as a pastor, I don't take that calling lightly. It's very important. But I sometimes say, you know, I've got all these degrees and learning and so on and experience as a pastor, but a father who just loves the Lord and is ready to share something with him, those kids are kind of wired to get 10 times as much from their dad as they are from me. So, you know, don't count on me to be the guy who comes through. You know, I will do my best. But when you're a father, God gives you a tremendous opportunity. And your kids are going to be picking up a lot from you for better or for worse. And I love this verse, Proverbs 14, verse 26. He who fears Yahweh has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. Isn't that a wonderful verse that when you come to know God, when you put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit after being born again by the Spirit of God, when you have the Lord in your life, you have a secure fortress. And he's not just your fortress. He becomes the fortress of your children as well. And he makes a covenant with you and the generation after you. And in revering God yourself, you bring tremendous blessing to your children. And you're loving your children when you love God. The second thing that's extremely important in being a blessing as a dad is loving your children's mother, loving your wife. In this psalm, it says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Your children are flourishing through the flourishing of your wife. And in some ways, it's almost, you know, we shouldn't pit these against each other, but it's almost more important to love your wife for your children's benefit than to love them directly. When, of course, you need to love your children directly. But when your kids know that you love your wife, that you are crazy about her, and that she is the delight of your life and you are always going to be faithful to her, it gives them a sense of living in an atmosphere of love, in an atmosphere of stability, where you know that your parents love each other and that your home is going to stay intact. It is very difficult for children when mom and dad are at odds, even when they know that mom loves them, that dad loves them, but they wonder whether mom and dad love each other anymore. And when that situation is there, it just shakes their world. So love your wife. If you want to do what's best for your kids, then make a big priority of just cherishing your wife. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What a privilege and, again, an awesome responsibility it is to be that one who's setting the tone. That is the passage, the famous passage about wives submitting, but it's within the overall context of the husband taking the lead in loving and laying down his life for his wife. He sets the tone, and he sets a tone of love and self-sacrifice. So when you love your wife, of course, you're doing it for her benefit, but one tremendous side effect of loving your wife a lot is that your kids are going to be so much happier and so much more likely to flourish than when they're not sure of that. I grew up in a home, I have to admit, I never, ever had the thought enter my mind that mom and dad might split up. That was a thought that just never occurred to me. You know, he would go out the door to work and kiss her on the way out the door and do the work on the farm and come back in. And they had their disagreements at times, but I never, ever, just it never entered my mind. And that is a very different situation, of course, for many children, and a very challenging one. And so, again, just love your wife with everything you've got. And in all of these, you know, all these things that I go through, just remember that there is both God's guidance as well as God's grace. Because I know that in many times when we hear God's guidance, we think, oh, ouch, I'm falling a long ways short of that. And then it's time to remember God's grace, to ask His forgiveness and then His help in doing better as we move forward. Another thing that's very important for a father is to provide. Here it talks about the fruit of the labor of your hands. You'll be blessed and it shall be well with you. And when you're getting the fruit of the labor of your hands, of course, then your family is being blessed by that as well. The flip side is that terrible verse in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's not the greatest encouragement to deadbeats. You know, you've denied the faith and you're worse than an unbeliever if you're not seeking to look out for your family. And so when you're a dad and you're trying to provide for your family, that can involve, of course, your work and the income that you have. And sometimes you can be in a job that, it's okay. Or maybe it's not even okay. Maybe it's just downright boring or miserable. But it is important to realize that when you're working, you're always working for the Lord, and you're always working to provide for your family. And whatever challenge there may be with your work, if you know that this is one way that you are blessing your family, that you're providing for them, then it gives you a lot of encouragement, even if the work itself is a drag sometimes. Of course, it's wonderful if your work is exciting and you love it, and you really see great purpose in the work itself. But even if you're having a hard time seeing a lot of purpose in that work itself, you know that one of the purposes always is simply to provide for your family. And husband and wife are a team in providing. You can be a team where both of you are earning some income, but also you're a team when it comes to provision, because provision goes beyond paying the bills. If you're at home and you're helping clean up the table, or you're changing a diaper, you don't have to say, I don't like to do this. So what? Do it. There are many things in life that might not be our favorite thing to do, but you have a whole different vision for it if you say, I'm doing work for God, and He's given me an opportunity to bless my family. And so look at providing as a way to bless. And those of us who've been provided for by hardworking parents, don't take that for granted. We can sometimes have our long list, and if mom or dad falls short at one point on the checklist, we think they're lousy. Well, we all do have failings, but remember what goes into that. It takes hard work to provide for a family, and God has blessed you if you have parents who are willing to work hard and pay your bills and feed you and clothe you. There are other things that dads do, but this certainly isn't lowest or least important on the list. Another that I thought I probably shouldn't leave out, even though it's pretty obvious, is show up. The Bible says like a bird that just is away from its nest is someone who is always far from his own family. So you need to be there. You need to be there a lot, not just once in a great while, but with your children a lot of the time. And when you're doing that, your goal is to have their heart. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Now, how are they going to observe your ways if they never see you? How are they going to give you their heart if you're just never in the same room? And I know never is an exaggeration. But I've mentioned before some of the research that finds that when a father is having dinner with his family five times a week, that's it, show up and eat. That's not quite rocket science. Show up and eat with your family five times a week at dinner time, and the rate of smoking, of use of drugs and alcohol, of a lot of other negative behaviors is just way, way, way lower than where fathers are gone almost all the time. So showing up may not sound like much, but in fact, it's often more than half the ball game, just being there. Sometimes, even you know, some of us now have opportunity to work at home, and that gives a great opportunity just to be in the building. You know, sometimes just being in the building and having your kids know that you're available can be a great blessing. And not all of us are able to do that. Some of us have jobs and activities that take us away from home, but we have to try to balance that and intentionally make time to be with our family. The guidance on how do you teach your kids, one of it is, well, just be with them a lot. Talk about these commandments when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Oftentimes, love is a four-letter word spelled T-I-M-E. The time that you spend with kids. And sometimes, you know, you may say, well, you know, there's a few really important conversations I need to have with my kids. So I'm going to sit down on a chair and put them in the chair there, and then we're going to have the important conversation. Well, yeah, it's good to have important conversations with maybe an agenda that you already had in mind. But most of the way you bless your kids is just going to be, oh, yeah, we were riding in the car and got to talking about this or that. Or you happen to be watching a ball game and you got to yakking about this or that. If you're with your kids and they just want to talk to you about something, or you just get to chatting about something, that's where a lot of the best conversation actually happens. So showing up and just being around each other a lot gives you occasion for a lot of blessed conversations. And that, of course, then means that we do need to prioritize. You don't have to have always the most money to be a great dad. You don't always have to drive the nicest car. You don't have to eat steak every day, although I would appreciate it. But, you know, there are things that you don't have to have. A greedy man, the scripture says, brings trouble to his family. You're always wanting more and more and more, and so your income is your highest priority, not your family itself. And Proverbs says, better to be poor and fear Yahweh than to be rich and in trouble. Better to eat vegetables with the people you love than to eat the finest meat where there is hate. And that one hits me right in the heart because, you know, I like T-bone steak and barbecued ribs, and I'm not a vegetarian. I am kind of carnivorous. But, you know, I'd be better off a vegetarian than in a home where there's hate. So you make it a priority. I'm going to fear God. That matters more than getting rich. And I want to have a home filled with love. And that matters more than having the finest stuff that money can buy. So when you prioritize and your children know that you're putting their well-being ahead of some of the goals and objectives that you really might like to pursue, then that, again, really strengthens them, builds them up. So revere God, love your wife, provide, show up, prioritize, get things straight in what matters most, and then train yourself. What do I mean by that? Well, we need to remember that when we're thinking about parenting, we're not just looking at, let's see, point A, point B, point C, point D of what you need to do to make your kids better. The main thing you need to do is train yourself so that your life isn't a wreck. Because when you're walking with God and when you're growing in godliness, then a lot of that is very, very likely to rub off. You cannot take a direction yourself without it affecting your children. Let's say you're the captain of a ship and you say, well, you know, I've just kind of got myself to worry about. I like to take a nice, relaxed attitude. I really don't like bothering, you know, maps. You know, I don't like those things. And I don't like spending my energy figuring out where the icebergs are and where the problem and dangerous areas are. I'm just going to kind of float through life. Well, this is called a shipwreck. And the trouble with shipwrecks is the captain is not the only one affected by it. The others on board are affected when you make a shipwreck. And so train yourself and do the things necessary so that your life is being steered by God's wisdom, and you will have a boatload of people along for the ride. By wisdom, a house is built. Through understanding, it's established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasure. So pray to God for wisdom. Be like Solomon. When God gave him one thing to ask for, he said, God, give me wisdom, because I can't do it without your help to run this great kingdom. And maybe you and I can say, well, Lord, I can't run this little kingdom without a whole lot of help. I need a lot of wisdom just to be a dad in this smaller domain you've given me. By wisdom, a house is built. And then, of course, 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 says, train yourself for godliness. And so, among other things, that means that you want to grow in knowledge of God. That means you read your own Bible. That means you spend time in God's Word. You spend time in prayer. You may spend some time in fasting. You may find other... You spend time, of course, in worship together at church, and sometimes in prayer with other men or with other people in a smaller group. There's various ways that you can be shaped and trained, but don't neglect that, because, once again, when you're captaining a ship, a lot of others are affected. You need to get your own act together, in other words. With God's help, get your act together so that you can be a blessing rather than a curse for your children. And then, of course, once you're walking with God and continue to walk with Him, then don't just neglect the aspect of actually teaching. You lead by example, of course, and by the life that you have and your walk with God, but you also are called on to teach. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The training, the instruction, and the not provoking to anger. So you want to find ways to teach that are not just going to make them mad or that drive them crazy. You don't want an approach to parenting that is inflexible, that doesn't take account of who those children are. You need to know the subject material, so to speak, the things of God and the things that a child needs to know growing up. But then you also need to pray for God's help in helping to share that with them. And let me just say here, you can't delegate it completely. Of course, it's a shared responsibility. It's partially delegated to your wife and sometimes to other people in your church family, and sometimes there's the blessings of extended family. I know that in our own family, I'm glad that I'm not the only adult male that is any good to them. They've had grandpas. They've got men at church who've been great friends to our boys, and adults who've been great friends to our girls. And so it doesn't all rest on the shoulders of the dad, not by a long shot. But on the other hand, when there's the time to answer for how your children were instructed, when someday we all stand before Jesus and there is that time to answer for how our children were taught and instructed, the person at the front of that line will be those children's father. There will be others as well, but the person at the front of that line will be their father. So when Ephesians 6 addresses fathers, it's not saying, and mothers, don't do anything. You know, you sip lemonade and let the father do everything. You know, not by a long shot. Maybe it singles out fathers for two reasons. Maybe fathers aren't as wired to do it in their own minds, and so they're tempted to just leave it to their wife. But I think more likely it is simply this, that the father is called on to set the spiritual tone in the home. And so be the one who gathers the family for Bible, who gathers the family for prayer and family worship. Be the one who's encouraging your wife when you do share responsibility with her. Ask her how it's going and what you can do to encourage her in that. And as you teach, it's important that those of us who are on the learning end of it, boys and girls, this plea, hear my son and accept my words. I've taught you the way of wisdom. So part of this is to help us dads and encourage us and to get us to be the kind of dads we need to be. And part of it is intended for children. And it's saying, now, if you have a dad who does any of these things, appreciate it. But then also realize that God gave that dad to you for a purpose, so that you can learn God's ways and grow up to be strong and healthy. And when that happens, of course, part of teaching also involves discipline. That's kind of an unpleasant word, but it is an important part of parenting. Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Don't be a willing party to his death. Permissive parenting, where it's just whatever the child wants at all times with no guidance from parents, is going to be a disaster. We need to be at times firm and have clear boundaries for what children can do and clear consequences when they don't do it. And when children grow up knowing that there are boundaries and knowing there are consequences, it can be a great blessing to them. By the same token, there can be an approach to discipline which is devastating, an abusive approach to discipline. Sometimes you discipline or punish or spank when you're angry, not because you're trying to help shepherd the child. You're just venting. It might be spanking, it might be verbal abuse, but there are forms of discipline that will just embitter your children, or as that other verse in Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, provoke them to wrath. Don't do that. Don't embitter them. Don't provoke them to wrath. There are ways of discipline that are very rigid, that are very nasty, very harsh. It's also important to know yourself. There are sometimes when I'll advise, hey, spanking is not always wicked. You know, one swat on the rear once in a while when a child is young and needs it, or a snip on the hand when they're grabbing stuff they were told not to, that's not going to destroy your child. It's not abuse. A rebuke and say, no, that's wrong, is not abuse. But when you start calling children stupid or ugly or other insults, that's verbal abuse. When you are hitting them excessively, that's physical abuse, and that's no longer godly discipline. So again, we need wisdom from the Lord and a sense of balance in how we pursue this kind of discipline. And be careful what sermons or messages or whatever else that you enjoy the most. If you really love those messages about discipline and the definitions of the rod and how many times that you need to get compliance from the child and you need to break the child's will, and oh man, that is so helpful, just turn it right on down and say, I think it's appealing to me because I'm a control freak and I need to tune out that kind of advice. So sometimes listen to the advice that you like the least. You know that I don't know any way to define that, but one of the ways to bring balance into your life is to listen. If you're listening to somebody who seems like some mushy-gushy, easy, permissive parenting person, maybe give that a listen for a few minutes if you don't like hearing that, because it might be just the medicine you needed. So, again, this may sound strange, but paradoxically, sometimes we need to listen to what we enjoy the least in order to help us to bring balance to our life. And a lot of it is a matter of doing it in community as well. Listening carefully to your spouse. Listening very carefully to your children. And I'm not saying, well, my kids said they don't want me to discipline them, so I won't. I've listened to my children. But very often, discipline can take place without even having given the child a hearing and treating them as a human being. So listening both to the child, getting input from your spouse. Sometimes when you've got good friends, if you've got adult friends, just talk about it a little bit. And, you know, there are times when if you just talk to somebody else about your own child-rearing practices, they might say, dude, that sounds crazy. Because it is crazy. And they will help get you on a healthier path if you're really sharing with others. And I think another very, very important thing is to remember that we are all in process, and certainly our little ones and our children growing up are in process. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Now, in the context, that means mainly they're flourishing. They're doing well. But what else does it mean? Well, when you're an olive shoot, you're not yet a full-grown tree. You're on your way. You're alive. You're healthy. You're growing. And there's a lot of growing still to be done. And a very, very important part of parenting is seeing your children as life and growing in process. Because some parents get panicky. And when you see your children not where you want them to be, you get more and more worried and more nervous, and, oh no, what would happen? And before you know it, your worriedness and your nervousness is doing damage. And so to await growth calmly and not go into a panic every time things haven't yet turned out the way you're hoping, just your children are going to be like olive shoots. His offspring will be mighty in the land. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Just chill a little bit. Relax just a little. You've got work to do as a dad or as a mom, but your kids, you walk with God, you pray for them, you give them love. It's pretty likely that they're going to be all right. God's got them. And that means, of course, ultimately relying on God's grace. You're going to be in panic mode if you say, you know, I heard that sermon with 10 points in it, and if I blow one of them, yikes, everything is ruined. No, there is a great God who forgives our failings, but often will even turn those failings to our profit and to the profit of those whom we're trying to bless. So live by grace. Live with confidence in Jesus Christ. Don't be just on edge and afraid always of catastrophe at the slightest slip-up in your parenting. A good deal of more relaxed and grace-filled, delighted parenting is going to be a blessing. I often say that you could chuck all of your parenting books in the trash. I won't go that far, but you could probably chuck most of them. And if you just had this one thing going on, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If your life is full of the Holy Spirit and His fruit, if it's growing in you, if your kids are surrounded with love and your home is a place of joy and peace and patience and all those other virtues, it's going to grow. It's going to develop. It might not be fully there yet, but the Holy Spirit's at work. And it's true of you in your own individual heart and walk with God. Don't get down on yourself if you're not yet who you wish you were. He's begun something, and He's going to carry it to completion. And the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. That's what it means to live by faith. That's what it means to parent by faith. You have confidence in Jesus. You have confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit. You believe that God is going to complete the work that's underway. You believe that those olive shoots are going to turn into a tree that's productive and producing great olives. And even though it's just a little shoot right now, you believe. So await the growth. And some of you maybe have even gotten to a stage where, yeah, my kids are already grown, and boy, some of them, they seem to be on the wrong path. Well, even there, don't give up. That story's not done. And so just keep on praying and awaiting what God may yet do in their lives. And prize your kids, treasure them, value them. Everything else I've said, it might turn out to be almost a waste if you say, boy, I wish I hadn't. I've heard people say it. There's times when I just wish we hadn't had any children. Yeah, and I'm afraid your kids can tell. There is a very important part of just prizing your kids. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears Yahweh. Remember what the psalm says, when you are given a wife and you're given children, you are blessed. And enjoy that blessing. Delight in that blessing. Children are a heritage from Yahweh. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. I like my kids. You know, I love them, but I also like them. I enjoy being around them. I enjoy doing the things that we do together. I have a lot of fun with them. And that's been true of every age. I've enjoyed them when they're babies. I've enjoyed them, you know, when they're on their way. And I've enjoyed talking to my adult kids and learning a lot from all of them along the way. I always like the title of the one book, How Children Raise Their Parents. And you know, part of part of your growth in grace, if you are a parent, is the kids that God puts in your life and the way that your interaction with them. You have tremendous opportunity to grow in servanthood, in love, in so many other ways when God gives you kids. But aside from your own, you don't prize your kids because you might get a little bit of personal growth out of the deal. You prize them because they are prizes, because they are precious souls, because each of them is wonderful and amazing and a creation of God. And so I just encourage each of you again to clear away the clutter. Sometimes during the daily grind of diaper changing or some arguments or the kids bickering with each other, you say, oh, man. But overall, it is what a tremendous blessing it is to have those kids that God gives you. And when they know that you like them, that you like being around them, that you love having them when you're doing stuff together. You know, I know we might carry it a little too far where sometimes when we go on vacation, we don't even get away from them. They all come along. I'm not saying everybody has to take the whole clan along everywhere you go, but it's fun. So, again, different families, have a little different approaches, and that's all fine. But prize your children enormously because they are a tremendous gift from the Lord. So those are some of the ways that I want to encourage us today, again, with guidance, but also with God's grace, to say, hey, here's some areas where I hope that dads can learn and grow. And also, if that's an area where you say, that is really, the nice way of saying it, when you say, I've really blown it, a different way of saying it is, I have identified a growth area. But even that's a blessing from God. I've identified a growth area, and now I can become a better dad and a better child of God because I identified that growth area with God's help. So may God help us in those growth areas, and may God give us much delight and satisfaction in the wonderful gift of being dads and grandpas. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for your great blessing that you've adopted us as your children and called yourself our Father and invited us to call you our Father through Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love. We thank you that as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for you know how we're formed. And you love us, and you know our weaknesses as well as what we may yet become by your strength and by your grace. And so we pray that you'll help us to rely on that grace, those of us who are dads and moms, and we pray that we can give that same grace and patience to our children as they continue to develop. We pray, Father, that they may indeed be mighty in the land, that they may grow and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that their gifts will develop and advance and shine for you. We pray for those who are in struggles right now, where moms and dads are at odds with each other or just having very tense relationships with their kids. We pray for your help and healing for those relationships and that they can just serve one another together in love. We pray too, Lord, for adult children who maybe walked a wrong path, and we pray that you will just lead them back to yourself. We thank you for the assurance that one sheep who wanders still matters a lot to you. And in your love, we do pray that you'll put them on your shoulder and bring them back to your fold, and that you will bless them and rescue them from all predators. We pray, Father, that you'll help us as a church to support dads and grandpas, to support moms and grandmas, to support each other, that we'll support, Lord, the sons and daughters who are so precious to us, and that they may flourish under your love and in your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.